the future. Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll begin to read at verse number 1, please. Hebrews chapter 13, I'm beginning to read at verse number 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversary, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And we do trust that God will bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word. As Brother Sam has said this morning, this is the time for New Year's resolutions, a time in which people will endeavor to eat less, exercise more, perhaps spend less money, and perhaps even spend more time with their families. The problem, of course, with New Year's resolutions is, as someone has said, to go in one year and out the other year. But there are some resolutions in this chapter that we would do well to take on board this morning. First of all, in verse number 1, we could talk about love. Let brotherly love continue. That would be a good New Year's resolution, to love each other more and more, to love each other the way that God would have us love each other. Romans 5, verse 5, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Indeed, love is proof that we really belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. John said in 1 John 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life. How can we be sure we're saved? There are a number of birthmarks of the believer you'll find in John's epistle, but here's one of them: because we love the brethren. Indeed, he goes on to say, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Wouldn't that be a good New Year's resolution, to love each other in a greater way, in a deeper way? And of course, the love that we're thinking of is not even the love that's mentioned in verse number 1, but that agape love, that love indeed which puts others before ourselves. What a witness it is. John 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Wouldn't that be a good resolution? Another good resolution would be to pray more. Look at verse number 3. Remember, and I take the word remember to include practical help, because it's speaking about those who are suffering, those who are in bondage. But I think when we think of the word remember, it surely includes prayerful help. Remembering to pray for one another. Remember they which are in bonds as bound with them. When people are going through difficult times, it should be as part of the body of Christ that we're going through those times with them. That's how close we should be as God's people. And if we really are that close, then we'll have no bother praying for each other. Wouldn't it be a good New Year's resolution to pray more? Remember what the disciples said to the Lord, teach us to pray. Wouldn't that be a wonderful resolution? The smallest meeting in every church is the prayer meeting. You see, you can't have any frills at a prayer meeting. You can't make a prayer meeting exciting. You can't do anything with it. You just come and simply call upon the name of the Lord. For some people, don't find that exciting. Some people just don't get it. But what a blessing there is when people come together to pray. Wouldn't that be a wonderful New Year's resolution? To love each other in a deeper, more meaningful way. And indeed, to pray more for each other. Look at verse number 4. Marriage is honorable in all. And how indeed the word of God honors marriage. God the Father established it. God the Son was present at one and performed his first miracle there. God the Holy Spirit used it as a picture of Christ and the church. The Trinity honors marriage. How sad that our government dishonors marriage. But for you and I this morning, wouldn't it be a good New Year's resolution to put more into our marriages, to put more into our families, and to give it the priority it needs, that indeed we might see our young ones built up in their most holy faith. There are so many things here that we could mention. Even if you look down to verse number 9, we didn't read it, but here's another great resolution. Be not carried away. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Take a stand for what you believe. So many people are, as Paul said in Ephesians 4 verse 14, tossed through and to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. It's difficult to find people with conviction today. And they seem to be tossed about here and there, and they can leave a conservative and an evangelical church and they seem to go off and nearly can go anywhere. Wouldn't it be a good New Year's resolution to take your stand on the Word of God? Take your stand for truth. Take your stand for what you believe. These are some biblical resolutions that you and I could make this morning. I don't really want to think about New Year's resolutions this morning. I want to think about facing a new year without fear. The new year always brings some fear because we don't know what this year is going to bring. We have no idea what's around the corner. And for some, may have some idea what lies ahead. And maybe as you enter this new year, there are certain fears that have gripped you. And I want to see this morning if we can find help for all of God's people, that we may be able to face a new year without fear. The old map makers who didn't understand even the very shape of the world, they used to draw the maps and they could only go as far as they would know. And they would mark the map and they would write that beyond this there may be dragons. Now, they had never seen a dragon. They had no idea what a dragon even was, but they had the fear of the unknown. Maybe that's how you face 2023. I believe in two of the verses we've read together this morning, we have the help that we need to be able to face a new year without fear. Notice in verse 6, the writer says, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear." I sense a determination there. Even a boldness there. I will not fear. No matter what the devil throws at me, I will not fear. No matter what God has planned for me, I will not fear. No matter all the unknown that lies ahead in 2023, I will not fear. You see, there's a determination. What can give us this boldness? What can give us this determination, this zeal to be able to look into 2023 and say, no matter what comes, I will not fear? Well, look at verse number 5 here. I want to talk first of all about the contentment of his provision. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Discontentment is a disease. It robs us of joy. It robs us of peace. Contentment, on the other hand, someone has said, contentment is not getting what you want, but it's wanting what you already have. It is that inner certainty that keeps us at peace in spite of outward circumstances. It's not complacency, because the truly contented person does have concerns and are concerned about certain things. It's not escaping from the battles of life, but it's having peace in the midst of the battles of life. Here's what Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You know what that tells me? We will never find contentment unless we have godliness. Let me define godliness. Godlikeness. Godlikeness. When we become more and more like the Lord, then we're on the pathway to finding true contentment. And I think without godliness, we will never find contentment. Paul goes on to say in the next verse in 1 Timothy, for we brought nothing into this world, it's certain we can carry nothing out. But having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Let me summarize it. If you've got something on your back and something to put in your mouth, and you have Jesus Christ in your heart, we should be content. I wonder how content you are this morning. We can't face the new year without fear if we don't first of all have this contentment. Some people look for contentment in material things. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 5 verse 10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. He that loveth abundance with increase. And what Solomon is saying is if you base your life on money, you'll want more money. If it's having an abundance of things, you'll want more things. And you'll never find that contentment in things, in money, or in material things. The word used for contentment here was used of the Stoics. The Stoics were a people that believed they were self-sufficient. They didn't need anyone. They didn't need any help. And the Spirit of God takes this word and it brings it into the inspired Word of God. But our sufficiency is not in self. Our sufficiency is found in the person of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Our sufficiency is of God. I know we're facing difficult times. Sometimes we have the fear that our needs are not going to be met. Sometimes we can't distinguish between our needs and perhaps our greed. And these things are difficult for us to distinguish. Back in 1929, when the Wall Street crash happened, remember, many of the bankers committed suicide because their whole life centered on money and things. And if you base everything on those things that can be taken away, then when they are taken away, you find yourself really struggling to cope. If our contentment is based on something that can never be taken away, or someone, rather, who can never be taken away, because all of these things are wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. Here's what Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith be to be content. Paul had to learn the secret of contentment. It just doesn't come to us naturally. And Paul says, I don't speak in respect of want. He had received a gift and he thanked them for the gift, but he said, I don't speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state, whatsoever financial state, whatsoever physical state, whatsoever mental state, I have learned the secret of contentment. I believe Paul learned that the providence of God helped us to be content. Paul realized, he said, not that I speak in respect of want. He went on to say, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Paul says, I know what it is to have money in my pocket. I know what it is to have none. And in the providence of God, God has taught me how to be content. And I have learned how to be content. Because Paul could step back and say, God's still on the throne. And the providence of God and the power of God taught him how to be content. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. J.B. Phillips puts it like this, I am ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives in me. Are you content this morning? Joseph's brothers were content when they betrayed Joseph. That's what we read in Genesis 37. It was a false contentment. They only thought they had found contentment. You see, as we enter this new year, are you content with the provision of the Lord? Will you rest on the providence of God? Will you depend on the power of God. Because if we're going to begin this journey, this new year without fear, we need to be content. Be content with the things as you have. Now, look at verse 5 again. Because here we're told what this leads to. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with the things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We don't know what we'll face in 2023. But there's one thing we do know, we don't face it alone. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If we were to translate that directly from the Greek, this is what it will say. I will never, no not ever, no never leave you nor forsake you. There's five negatives there. And the Lord is saying to you at the threshold of a new year, at the beginning of 2023, no matter what happens, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I will never abandon you. I will never give up on you. I will never forsake you under any circumstance. No matter what you face, you'll never face it alone if you know Christ this morning. When we are discouraged, his presence will see us through. When we're lonely, his presence will cheer us up. We can be lonely. I know there are widows and widowers, and it can be lonely. But you can be part of a big family and be lonely. You can be in a workplace and be lonely. And loneliness is a terrible thing. But when we remember that he has said he will never leave us nor forsake us, his presence will cheer us up. When we're worried, his presence will calm us down. Someone said, worry is a mild form of atheism. It's acting like God doesn't exist. David Livingstone, they tell the story how he was surrounded by savages. He had great plans for Africa, but it looked as if he wouldn't make it through that night. And he was in so much turmoil, but he said he opened the word of God and he read, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It was that phrase, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he writ into his diary, he said, this is the word of a gentleman of the most strict and sacred honor. And that's the end of it. And Livingstone knew when the Lord was with him, he could face whatever would be thrown at him. When we're discouraged, his presence will see us through. When we're lonely, his presence cheers us up. When we're worried, his presence calms us down. When we're tempted, his presence will get us through. There's that wonderful verse in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. I was actually just thinking about this morning. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You know, I noticed something this morning that I've never noticed in that verse before. There are three buts in it. Three buts. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. You're not the only one. You're not the only one facing this. And sometimes we feel no one else has ever faced this. And Paul says, but such as is common to man. And then there's a second but in that verse as well. But God is faithful. Not only are you not the only one, but you're not on your own. God is faithful. What's the temptation that you're facing? Temptation can be a test. Temptation becomes a sin when we feel the test. And then we be tempted to evil or tempted to sin. What's the temptation that you're having to battle with? You're not the only one. God is faithful. You're not on your own. And the third but well with the temptation, make a way to escape. You can get through this. You can get over this. you can beat this. God is faithful. When we're discouraged, his presence will see us through. When we're lonely, his presence will cheer us up. When we're worried, his presence will calm us down. When we're tempted, his presence will get us through. You see the contentment of his provision. Be content with such things as you have. Is discontentment at the heart of your fears this morning? The companionship of his presence, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Then you have the confidence of his promise. There's three little words in the middle of verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said. Who said it? Who's the one who said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? He's the omnipotent one. He's the all-powerful one. He's the omniscient one. He's the all-knowing one. He's the omnipresent one. He's the all-present one. Maybe you're saying this morning, I don't have the strength. He has said, the omnipotent, all-powerful one says, I'm never leaving you and I'm never forsaking you. Maybe you're saying this morning, I'm afraid. I can't face it. The omnipresent one says, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. No matter where you go, he's there. No matter how deep you find yourself in, no matter how dark the night or how deep the valley, the omnipresent one, when others may abandon you, when others can walk out on you, when others can forsake you, the omnipresent one says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lord, how can I face tomorrow? I don't know what to do. The omniscient one, the all-knowing one, says, I'm going to be with you. He knows all about tomorrow. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. There's no surprises to him. He says, I'm not going to leave you and I'm not going to forsake you. That's the one who said, he hath said. In fact, in the Greek it is, he himself hath said. And because he has said, then we can say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I used to visit an old lady in East Belfast when I was the pastor down there, and she lived on her own for years and years, and she said, I'm on my own, but I'm never alone. And she used to quote words of a hymn. I didn't really know it, but I looked up the words of it. No, never alone, no, never alone. He has promised never to leave me, never, ever to leave me alone. She says, I'm alone, but I'm never lonely. Because he has promised never, no, never to leave me alone. There's the contentment of his provision. There's the companionship of his presence. There's the confidence in his promise, for he hath said. Now, what does that bring us to this morning? It brings us to the comfort of his protection. Look at verse number 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Verse 5, he hath said. Verse 6, that we may say. That's how we can face a new year without fear. And all of these things are wrapped up in the person of Christ. Our contentment is in Christ. Our companionship is in Christ. Our confidence is in Christ. Our comfort is in Christ. We can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We don't know what 2023 is going to bring, but we can boldly say, I will not fear, because we have contentment in Christ. We have the companionship of Christ, and we have confidence in Christ. At a funeral recently, I shared the story of John McNeill, the Scottish preacher. He was a man who, as a young man, he worked in a ticket office in a railway station, and he always wanted to get home on the Saturday night. He wanted to be there on Sunday for the meetings. And when he was leaving one Saturday night, it was midnight, it was black. He was going through a difficult and a dangerous pathway, and he was terrified. As he looked, all he could see was darkness, like driving in the fog for the first time, and you don't know where you're going. And he didn't know where he was going, and he was taking gingerly a step at a time, and he could see this figure in front of him. And he could see this figure in front, and he was startled. And then he heard a voice saying, "Johnny, is that you?" It was the voice of his dad. And his dad had come to meet him. When his dad put his hand on his shoulder, the fear left him. And the dad was with him every step of the way until he brought him home. And that was the psalmist David's experience. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." David says, "I will fear no evil." David could face a new year without fear, because he knew something about the presence of the Lord. He's promised to be with us every step of the way. If we find our contentment in Jesus, our companionship in Jesus, we'll have our confidence in the Lord Jesus. And then we'll have our comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. A number of weeks' time, I'll be getting back to studies in the life of David. I have no doubt when we come to 1 Samuel chapter 22, we'll come to David in the cave Adullam. Now I want to speak to anybody here this morning who doesn't know Christ. Because if you don't know Christ this morning, there's a little picture here. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, we have David, the rejected king, and he's in a cave. We have Saul, the king that God has rejected. And so everyone had a choice to make. Would they align themselves with David, the rejected king? It would mean difficulties. It would mean tests. It wouldn't be an easy pathway. Or would they align themselves with King Saul? They would be popular. They would be part of the in crowd. And so it was a difficult decision for some to make. It's a little bit like the decision you have if you don't know Christ. Are you going to align yourself to the rejected one, the Lord Jesus Christ? Because there's no doubt he is the rejected one when it comes to this world. He is despised still and rejected of men. And you have a choice. Will you align yourself to Satan in 2023? Yes, it's a broad way. It's a popular way. It may be a fun way at times. Or will you come on to the narrow way? Will you align yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's what it says in 1 Samuel 22, verse 2. "Everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, everyone that was discontented," those who were discontented, disappointed, those who couldn't find contentment in the world, they sided with David and they joined the rejected one. Others stayed with Saul. But you know, in a day to come, the ones who stuck with Saul would have to bow the knee and acknowledge David as king. And those who align themselves with Satan will one day have to bow the knee, because every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But you're not going to have an option then. Paul says even those under the earth, even those in hell, will acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. But it's going to be too late. So this morning, as we enter 2023, will you find contentment in Christ today? Or are you going to continue that hell-bound pathway in 2023? For God's people this morning, here's how we can have a new year without fear. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. If I was to ask you what I preached on the 2nd of January, I think it was the 2nd of January, I could be wrong, the first Sunday in 2022. Like me, you probably wouldn't have remembered. But I asked the question, are we going to have a new you in 22? And some of the things we talked about was Nehemiah. We reflected on some of the things we'd preached throughout the year. And when we looked at Nehemiah chapter 4, there was work to be done. And you know, the people were discouraged. And they said in Nehemiah 4 verse 10, we're not able. This can't be done. And then the enemy came in verse number 11. And they wanted to cause the work to cease. And they were saying, you won't do it. You won't do it. God's people said, it can't be done. The enemy said, you won't be doing it. Then Nehemiah reminded them in verse 20 that God shall fight for you. Let me put it all together. God's people says, we can't do it. The enemy said, you won't be doing it. And Nehemiah says, no, but God's going to do it. And God can do it. We ask the question, will there be a new you in 22? Only you can answer if you're closer to the Lord now than you were in January 22. I've turned it a wee bit around this morning, and forgive me for trying to make things rhyme. Will there be a new me in 23? Will there be a new me in 23? Are you going to find contentment? Have you as a child of God been looking in all the wrong places for contentment? Because then you'll appreciate that companionship. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Will you have that confidence so that we may boldly say, he hath said. And because he hath said it, we will boldly say, and we will have that comfort, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Will there be a new me in 23 as we face this new year? If you don't know Christ, there needs to be a new you, because you need to align yourself to the rejected one this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow in a moment's prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we stand at the beginning of a new year, Lord, there's so much ahead that we have no idea what's going to happen. Lord, we can't even boast about tomorrow, because we don't know what a day is going to bring for us. And so, Heavenly Father, what peace that we as God's children can have, knowing that the Lord Jesus says, I'll never leave thee and I'll never forsake thee. And dear sister and dear brother this morning, whatever's around the corner, whatever, Lord, they have to face, Lord, will you bring it home to hearts this morning that they'll never have to face it alone, that you've promised to be with them every step of the way. Bless thy word to all of our hearts. Maybe there's a discontented saint here this morning, always looking for something more, always trying to get more. Lord, help us to find our contentment in the person of Christ, because we'll never lose Christ. Bless thy word to our hearts. Speak to those who are out of Christ and without a Savior. Oh Lord, how we would love to hear that they've entered this new year with Christ as their Savior. Bless thy word to all of our hearts. For it's in our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing 425 in the